All right. Galatians chapter 2, the last two verses. The profound statement is such that it can be intimidating even to read that I am crucified with Christ. I was born in 1942. That's a long time after Christ. And so to be the present position of crucified with Christ is something I need to wrap my head around, because it's not going to come to me naturally. It's nothing that the public school system taught me. It's nothing that Oprah ever talks about. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. I live, I get that part, but not I. Why, I thought it was all about me.
Yeah.
I thought I was the center of the universe.
Oh, yeah.
Why, I thought as soon as George Soros dies, I take over. So, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Another concept, the God of the universe. What, know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? I mean, we're talking some things here that I would have no clue were it not for God's word that these things were even possible. Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, that I can get hold of. Because I understand forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before. I understand the now. It's having that being centered in Christ and me being crucified. That is difficult. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. I'm so thankful.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The God of the universe provided for his creation, and he did it on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
Calvary's cross is the quintessential sacrifice for that nation, Israel, with a blood better than the blood of bulls and goats, a better sacrifice for a better kingdom. And for me, according to the revelation of the mystery, it completes me in Christ and makes me a new creature.
Amen.
Verse 21 is often passed over. But it does make the statement that's important for me to realize that I am capable of frustrating the grace of God.
Yes.
That I can mess up. And so I need to understand how it would be messing with and frustrating the grace of God and then not to do that. Now, these two verses are verses about which some folks get misty-eyed and mystical, and I appreciate where those fellas might be coming from. I just have a hard time relating to it.
Yeah.
For me, I'm looking for something, I guess, on a more practical level and less esoteric. If you're looking for the profound thinking of men who would make me look like a spiritual ping pong ball, go to the writings of a fellow named Watchman Nee, and he is a doctrinal disaster area, but when it comes to personal integrity and spirituality, he's probably second to almost nobody.
Yes, amen.
His book, Sit, Walk, Stand, is about Ephesians chapter 2, and his book, The Normal Christian Life, is ironic because we don't live a normal Christian life.
No.
The normal Christian life is crucified.
Yes.
And so the normal Christian life is largely about Romans 6, 7, and 8.
Yes.
Largely chapter 6. Not I, but Christ is a book written by Maxwell, The Born Crucified by Maxwell. A.W. Tozier is a Christian Missionary Alliance leader.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote Pursuit of God, Pursuit of Holiness, Pursuit of This, and Pursuit of That. I read him, and he might be pursuing, but I don't think he's catching anything. It's just not where I am.
Yeah.
I don't live where those fellows live. They are way beyond my spiritual understanding, apparently. I look at this not from that perspective, and I'm just not capable. That's why I gave you a bibliography of fellows that are capable. I come to it and I'm looking at a positional, practical truth that I need to understand. If I'm going to walk in newness of life, I need to know what that is.
Yes.
If I'm going to be crucified with Christ, I need to reckon that. I'm told to reckon that in Romans chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 12. So, the positional truth. God never ceased to be God, but He took a position. He humbled Himself.
Yes.
He took the form of humanity, and He lived a life without sin, tempted in all points, the book of Hebrews says, like as we are, yet without sin. He, as Lewis Ferry Schaefer says in his book, Systematic Theology, in his mother's womb, could have spoken worlds into existence. He never ceased to be God.
Amen.
But He takes a position.
Mm-hmm.
So, positional truth. That concept that Jesus, when He is operating in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is no less the fullness of the Godhead bodily than Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, 9 and 10 declare Him to be.
Yes.
I needed to get a hold of a concept called anthropomorphism. Anthropology is humanity, studies of folks. The morph, when you see something morph from one thing to another, you think of a transformer toy or those kinds of things. Anthropomorphism has to do with God manifesting Himself in human form. When Jehovah God said to Adam, "Where art thou?" It wasn't that He didn't know.
That's right.
He took a position whereby He could communicate an issue to Adam, because Adam was hiding. So, the burning bush, God manifest in flesh. Anthropomorphism is the word that describes that. Wow. That's a heavy concept. It is, however, required in my thinking to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He wept, is taking the position of humanity while He's yet and still the God of the universe.
Yes.
That's a lot to think about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He takes that position. The summary view looking back at the gospel is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He hath made Himself to be sin for us. Christ didn't sin.
Right.
He's cursed on that tree. Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. And in Psalm 22, the penitential, the messianic psalm from the cross, the Lord Jesus says, "I'm not a man. I'm a worm." Well, what do you find in the pit? Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched.
Right.
It's identification. It's a positional truth. There's times when I've been in a position and had to operate according to that position.
That's right.
It wasn't who I naturally was. One of the best examples I can think of is the training program I went through on my way to becoming a Kroger store manager. I positionally was a meat cutter for 8 weeks. Then I positionally was a head cashier for 8 weeks, an accountant. I take these positions to learn those jobs. My positional truth as a meat cutter took me to the hospital, having sliced my finger pretty good.
Yes.
My positional truth as a head cashier made for some long days when the numbers didn't balance.
Mm-hmm.
But you go through these processes and you take these positions. I remember as a co-manager at the Kroger store at Miracle Mile Shopping Center, where there was a guy named Phil Cox was the manager, and he was as mean as a skunk. Everybody knew he was mean as a skunk. He expected him to be mean as a skunk. But I found out he was actually teaching me some things. And so I was one of my first days as an assistant manager. He said, take your hands out of your pocket. You don't look authoritative when you've got your hands in your pocket. That's how he was. And he's dressing me down and teaching me things. I was in a new position.
Yes.
I'd always been hourly. I was a union member because all retail clerks were union members. I got promoted into management. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm in a different position. I needed to learn how to be that.
Yeah.
And portray that and live that. So, to that extent, I can kind of get my head around the concept mm-hmm. that there's a role. You're not acting, but there's a role you need to fulfill. There are things required of you. Okay? I'm crucified with Christ. There's a role I need to fulfill. That the old man is irrelevant. Better off crucified.
Amen.
Because he was going to hell anyhow. So
yes.
let's render him as, what's that singer's name? I can't think of it. The saying ashes. Render him ashes. Put a spell on you, that guy.
Oh.
Screaming Jayhawk.
Yeah.
Yes. Doesn't just roll off the tongue. Yeah. Oh, I used his cut on so many radio programs. When he growls and gurgles at people. Screaming, yeah. Render him ashes. He's crucified with Christ. Leave him there.
Yes.
I don't need to get my ball peen hammer and try to remove the nails. Crucified with Christ. So I'm learning from these verses some positional truth. I'm not learning to roll my eyes back in my head and float around the room. That's just not me. Watchman Nee, he can do that. A.W. Tozer, he can do that. E. Maxwell, he can do that. I'm sorry. I'm out. I read the verse and I see God telling me something I would not know had I not been familiar with this passage. It's no longer my life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 tells me I'm hid. I'm in Him. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 tell me that I died in His death.
Yes.
And I'm
yes.
sharing His resurrection.
Yes.
So it's important for me, I think, to get my head around the concept of positional truth. Because for me to put on Christ-like airs as if I knew what that was. For me to pretend to be something I'm not, that's duplicity.
Yes.
And that's plastic. That's what
yes.
that's what so many pulpits are filled with. These guys mm-hmm. in robes and they're something they're not and in this holy temple and, you know, something approaching 40% of evangelical preachers surveyed anonymously admit to being drinkers.
Wow.
Something approaching 20% have doubts that the Bible is true.
Wow.
These are guys in pulpits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got real problems. Now, I need to learn the truth. Jesus humbled himself and he took the form of a man who in the form of God, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. I can hardly imagine the holy, sinless, perfect creator God of the universe. There he is being accused, lied about. Why, even his accuser washed his hands and said, I see no fault with this man. And then to have a murderer freed and he take that murderous cross, talk about humbling yourself. He who knew no sin being made sin for us. As hard as that is to understand what it must have been like for him, and it's beyond our understanding, it's very hard to understand what it's like being me, crucified with Christ. It's not my life anymore, it's His.
That's it.
Wow. So I have a lot to learn about this. It's a concept that I'm helped by understanding Christ never ceased to be who He was.
Amen.
He was always the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yes. Yes.
Even when He says some very human things and does some very human things, He has humbled Himself and takes that form. By imputation, my sin is placed on Him. He takes it. God can't die. He dies my death. He dies your death. He's there in the underworld, in hell. He preaches to the spirits in prison. All of that because of your sins and mine imputed to His account.
Yes.
Now I turn that coin over and His righteousness has been imputed to my account.
Mm-hmm. Boy.
One of the things that helped me considerably in getting a bit of this in my head was I've not changed who I am either. The Word of God works effectually in me. I'm as zealous for the Lord now as I was for the devil before. A lot of the attributes are similar. What I'm getting at, I guess, is I don't have to put on airs.
No.
Pretend to be something I'm not. I need to recognize the old man's sinfulness and leave that on Calvary's cross.
Yes.
But I don't have to go through life like Jack Van Impe with a proverbial hanger in the mouth smile on my face 24/7. I loved it when Jack was teaching about how the butt was up to the horses' bridles and all the tribulation. And one third of the world's population is dead. And his wife, Rexella, says, "Thank you, Jack. That was wonderful." Did you listen to anything that man said? It wasn't wonderful. But rather than this phony baloney, there's a Pray the Glory Down series that Public TV did. And in the Pray the Glory Down series, there you've got one of the notable ministers of the day who's now selling sublingual pills. James Robinson. And he is on his set and he's, "Oh dear God, I pray," and cut. They powder him, they clean him up a little bit. Okay. "Oh dear," and right back right in. Wow, this is good.
Yeah.
It wasn't real before, it isn't real now, it's just showbiz.
Absolutely.
Well, forget that. I'd rather have a nickel's worth of something that's real than $1 million worth of this flowery phony.
Amen.
Concept, then, that I need to come to understand is this business of imputation.
Yeah.
If all of Jim's money was in my bank account, it would still be his money, but he imputed it to me and I get to spend it all.
$1.49.
Christ's righteousness imputed to my account. I made complete in Him.
Yes.
So just as, wow, I really can't say it that way. Christ identified with humanity. Christ identified with mortality. Christ identified He was made to be sin for us. I need to learn how to identify with Him.
Yes.
Yes.
The Word of God is my resource. It needs to work effectually, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, if anything is going to get done.
Yes.
By God's grace, I've been identified with Christ. In Romans chapter 6, it's not about water baptism. I was taught it was. When I got water baptized, this was red. Know ye not, verse 3, that so many of us as were baptized, that's not a tank of water, that's immersed for the sake of identification. That's the best definition you'll ever hear for the word baptized. Immersed for the sake of identification. Water is not implicit, inherent, attached to in any sense the word baptized, except in common usage. Common usage being simply wrong. As many of us as were baptized, immersed for the sake of identification, into Christ Jesus, we were immersed for the sake of identification, baptized into his death. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Amen.
I've got a newness of life set out in front of me.
Yes.
I need to learn what that looks like, how that operates. Got down to verse 14. Sin shall not have dominion over you. If I'm legalistic and under the law, then I'm focusing on failure. I'm focusing on the law. I'm focusing on sin. Rather than it having dominion, now I operate under grace principles. The reality is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that works for saved and lost both. All have sinned. Yet, when you allow this word to work effectually in you and allow God's Bible, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, to be the discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart, it's possible that you can do even better than you thought you could. Because after all, it's not you doing it, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, 27. So, rather than starting to glow in the dark and getting warm and fuzzy, esoteric and altruistic and floating around the room, I'm trying to gain from this the practical truths of positional truth as they need to operate in the life of a believer who's here not to consume products, but to be God's ambassador.
Amen.
Not to be entertained and entertaining, but to be a soldier. So there's a lot of concepts that need to be installed in my inner man. Romans chapter 5, read 6, Romans chapter 5, in verse 10, we were enemies, now we're reconciled, now we're saved. Back up to verse 1, the heat's off. You're at peace with God because you're in his Son. God hates sin. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, one God, you are resident in that situation. God's made a new creature out of you, and frankly, on planet Earth, you are what he's got going on.
Amen.
He's got the Word, he's got the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. He's got you as his ambassadors.
That's right.
People want the Holy Ghost to be doing everything for them, and they're praying to the Holy Ghost, and they're talking to angels and all that kind of stuff. What? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? What? You're ambassadors. You're supposed to be doing this work.
Amen.
So, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. A fellow named Blissett. He has a wooden cross that's about 12 feet long. He's got little wheels on the back of it. And he walks around dragging his cross with him everywhere he goes. I think he's missed the point.
Yeah.
It's not about a show.
Amen.
Even this current pope engaged in self-flagellation.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that's been a part of Roman Catholicism since the 4th and 5th centuries. People have whipped themselves. Madame Jean Guyon, the writer of the book that messed up the missionaries.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It won't come to me. Isn't that awful? I'm getting old. She demonstrated her love for Jesus by sewing Jesus' name with yarn across her abdomen. That's weird.
Oh my, yes.
I mean, that makes Britney Spears actually look mainstream. In third world countries to this day, there are locations where people crawl on their knees up hundreds of monastery steps.
Yes.
And they get there with bloody knees and bloody backs because they're whipping themselves so that they can go into the temple and come out with the statue of Mary. It's not about that kind of stuff.
No.
I need to reckon myself indeed dead. Now, reckoning is an accounting term. You've got a set of numbers and another set of numbers, and they need to agree at the bottom, like your checking account. They reckon. And so I need to get my head around it. I need to understand the concepts, the principles of it. How many times have I said, you can't answer? The secret to the Christian life is finding out who God has made you in Christ Jesus and then acting accordingly.
Yes.
That's it.
Amen.
That's Galatians. Who has He made you in Christ Jesus? He's completed you there. Who are you? And operate according to that. If you don't, you're going to be frustrating the grace of God. It's important for me to realize something that a tremendous amount of Christianity does not realize. I sound like such a nut when I talk like that, don't I? Some little pipsqueak such as I know something that millions of people are wrong about. I've got a Bible. I'm going by it. The fastest growing segment of Christianity is the holiness movement.
Yeah.
The holiness movement is a denial of what I'm about to say is true. Mm-hmm. You've got two natures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The holiness movement says no. The holiness movement says what I'm about to read to you is Paul unsaved. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Whoa. I remember hearing a preacher one time say, if you're out of town, unlimited budget, nobody knows where you are, are you the same person there as you are here? Sold under sin. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good.
Yeah.
Now then, it is no more I to do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I better know there's a war in my members.
Yes. Yes.
I better not think that I am now sinless, living a sanctified life. The holiness movement centers on a second blessing of sanctification and sinless behavior. Pentecostalism, John Wesley, I can't say Methodism follows anything today because I think they're just a political organization for the most part, or an entertainment venue, but John Wesley taught and believed in a second blessing of sanctification. And Church of God in Christ, Apostolic, Pentecostal, Church of God, Anderson, Church of God, Cleveland, Church of God, White Wing, Pillar of Truth. Yeah, there is, I said.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The White Wing, they're all ladies. Their services, they dress like angels. It's you have to Google it. It's kind of a hoot. I'm going to tell you that there's a war going on in your members.
Yes.
That your old man, you need to reckon him dead, because if you don't, you'll be hanging around fighting with your new man. Your soul as choices it can make. We should learn, Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, that I've been circumcised from the body of the sins of the flesh. Most every time I go over those passages and teach that, I can see people say, "Why? Is that what that really means?" Yeah, that's what it means.
Yes.
I need to realize how difficult this is for all of us. It just is. But it doesn't cease to be a truth. Verse 17, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. My wife and I, on a Wednesday night, were at Lee's Fried Chicken. We were sitting there eating some fried chicken. Wednesday night service, they had a special on Wednesdays. The chicken's a little cheaper for the church folks. In comes my pastor at that time, his wife, and their children. The little boy walks up to his little sister and pow, whaps her. I have no idea why. Looked like it was almost out of the blue. Pastor started to chastise the little boy, and the little boy, he was only so tall. He said, "Daddy, I didn't hit her. That was my flesh." Wow. This old guy understands the dichotomy between the old man and the new man. It was his flesh that hit his sister. What, me? So you can't spank me. What a clever little rascal. But he knew how to play it. He knew to take a position, didn't he? Well, maybe I need to learn from an 8-year-old to take a position of being who God made me in Christ Jesus. So when Paul says, verse 19, the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, then I do. Let's not admit that we've been there, done that, and bought the hat, but we've been there, done that, and bought the hat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that we today are not who we were yesterday or last year or 10 years ago as the Word works effectually in us. And I'd like to think that when you are introspective and look at the last few years of your life, you see tremendous improvement from where you once were. And things that used to beset you and, oh, you just couldn't start or couldn't stop or couldn't quit or couldn't begin or whatever the problem was. It quit being a problem. You don't know when it quit. It just did.
Yeah.
It just fell off like scales.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the new you emerging as the Word of God works effectively in you, the belief strengthening your inner man.
Yeah.
What used to be tough now, can't believe I was ever who I used to be. Now, that's not a source of ego or narcissism. It is a fact of reckoning the old man dead and walking in newness of life. Why shouldn't newness of life be laudable and commendable? Because whose life is it?
His.
It's his, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You're not in it for the notoriety and the applause. As a matter of fact, if you're not becoming a phony baloney, and I've met so many of them over the years, it's just hard to pick an example. if you're who you still were, you're crucified with Christ, you're the new creature, you haven't put on airs, you haven't become a religious phony, you're probably not going to get a lot of applause.
Nope.
That's right.
Generally speaking, the folks that folks look up to, whether it be Mother Teresa or Rick Warren or whoever it is, they're not really anywhere close to normal, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah.
Robert Shuler, you never met him at the mall. normal people, have normal concourse, do normal things, speak normally. They're not some sort of a caricature of what they think a Christian ought to look like.
Exactly.
In Romans chapter 14, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 7, where we are, back in verse 14, we don't think of the law as being spiritual. We think of it as identifying our sinfulness, but that's a spiritual issue.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Drop down then to verse 20. If I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it. This is the lesson I learned at Lee's Fried Chicken. I hit her because of sin growing in my flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do I get past this battle that rages within me, this war that I have in my members? Verse 23, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. I can remember pointing out many years ago with the Jim and Tammy Baker problem, with the Jimmy Swaggart problem. You're looking at holiness people who don't think they sin.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is sanctifying their own behavior.
Yes.
I mean, how can it be wrong? They're doing it.
Yeah.
And they don't sin. So they're changing the rules.
Yes.
If you don't recognize there's a war, you may be on the losing side of some things against your flesh.
Yes.
You need a beating down. Paul says, I die daily. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I've been circumcised from the body of the sons of the flesh. I don't have to. I don't have to. If I choose to, that's my mind, and I did wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How am I ever going to find victory? Verse 25. Through Christ.
Yes.
Through His life. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. With the flesh, the law of sin. That's easy. I can't trust the flesh.
That's right.
If I want to make an emotional decision, I need to not make the decision.
That's right.
Because
yes.
I'm not equipped to do it.
That's it.
I've told so many people, if you have doubts, don't. Simple as that. Wait till you cool down. Wait till you're not so involved. Wait till you're not so close to it. If you have doubts, don't. Back away. So, these verses in Romans chapter 7 speak of the two natures that human beings have. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Tonight we have only a tiny little moon, so none of us is likely to be howling anytime soon. When you go outside, you'll see the moon is no more than a sliver like that. And you know when you draw your vertical line, that's a letter B, right? So the moon is getting bigger. If the slice was this way, and you drew your vertical line, that's a letter D, the moon would decrease and go away.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Say, well, let's see if it's bigger tomorrow. Now, Romans 6 gives me some dead reckoning. In Romans chapter 6, verse 11, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was talking with a saved man. He was helping me do something that I really appreciated. And he said, brother, I'm just going to have to leave you for a while because I'm going to go out and have a smoke. He said, you don't like that, do you? I said, I don't like it. It's killing you. He said, well, what do I have to do to quit? And I said, want to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No magic. As soon as you want to, you'll quit. About a month later, he emailed me. I want to.
And he quit.
Oh.
It's a yarn in hand.
Yeah.
And bless his heart, he quit. I need to reckon it so.
Yes.
Now, if I've got a problem with a behavior pattern, with a sin issue, I need to get my head around the wrongness of it and reckon it nailed to the cross.
Yes.
And leave it there. It is a, for me, it's a mental process of walking in the position where God put me. I said, when the Lord saved my soul in 1978, if I'd have quit all my sinning simultaneously, I'd have had to sit in the corner and do nothing.
Yeah.
Because my life was pretty much that way.
Yeah.
I needed to start at ground zero and learn bit by bit by bit by bit by bit by bit. By God's grace, His Word works.
Yes, it does.
Don't say amen, don't say yes, it does, and then close this book and don't open it till next Sunday.
Right.
That won't work.
No.
You're kidding yourself. I'd rather you kidded me than yourself. So I need to do some dead reckoning in verses 11, and let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. He may show up, but don't let him sit on the throne, honey.
Amen.
Kick him out. Don't let him reign, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. The old Bob Jones, the first one, the Methodist preacher, he said it's never right to do wrong, to have a chance to do right.
Right.
The ends do not justify the means.
Amen.
Right's right. Get used to it. That should indicate you'll never be a lawyer.
That's right.
Never right to do a wrong thing, to have a chance to do a right thing. Sin, verse 14, shall not have dominion over you. We looked at that already. So here I am trying to learn Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Without growing wings and having a halo come down and land on top of my head. Of course, no angel has wings and there are no halos in the Bible, but I am thinking that way, aren't I?
Yes, thank you.
I don't want to frustrate God's grace. James, by definition, it's a Hebrew epistle. James, by definition, tells me a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Yes.
Let me draw you a graph of not Watchman Nee's normal Christian life, but what I think most people's lives are like.
Yep.
Spiritual giant in the dumper halfway. Spiritual giant in the dumper. You know, it's just roller coaster.
Yes.
Why would that be? Double-minded.
Yes.
You live one life at work, another life here. Double-minded. You live one life at home, another life outside. You're double-minded. You're looking for consistency. The most consistent behavior would emanate from a corpse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do a lot of wrong, except stink up the place after a while. But he's crucified.
Yeah.
And that's what I need to reckon myself and be crucified with Christ. So it's important for me to recognize the truth of the matter. When Satan transformed himself into an angel of light, and he's got his ministers out there, his ministers of righteousness, telling you live right, do right. They're preaching the law and putting me under legalism. They're putting me back under the law. And I'm not going to learn how to be a new creature when I'm focusing on the failures of the old one.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Boy, it's risky business, isn't it?
It is.
Just turn them loose. Scares you half to death. Now, Galatians 4, when we get there, will help us with this. Because babes, according to Galatians chapter 4, need tutors and governors. It'll be a month till we get there, but babes need tutors and governors.
Oh, yeah.
So a baby Christian needs tutoring. Needs taught some things. Needs to learn some concept. But you get to a point where you got to turn them loose. Maturity needs to kick in.
Yes.
So, as a crucified being, crucified with Christ, my life hid in His, I need not to operate under the old covenant mentality that whatever I do is a shoe dropping and God's going to whack me with bad circumstances. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the fear of the Lord was the beginning of wisdom, but it's not now.
That's right.
I'm at peace with God, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, joy, and sound mind is questionable, but my view is different. I need to learn that. I don't do right because I'm trying to dodge lightning bolts of circumstances in my life.
No.
Boy, if you tell somebody, like the Dayton Baptist Temple told their students who don't study Calvinism, what's the one thing they're going to study?
Calvinism.
Isn't the flesh that way?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So if I'm operating on do's and don'ts, wouldn't my bumper sticker read, how bad can I get and still go to heaven?
Yes.
Yes.
That's the law.
That's what the law does. How little right do I have to do and still be okay? How much wrong can I do and still be okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those boundaries are gone. I'm crucified. I'm complete. I'm judicially already, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, seated in heavenly places. I don't do right out of fear of deleterious circumstances. I do right because I'm crucified and there's, in Christ, there's no other choice than right.
That's right.
How much wrong does the Lord do? I'm in Him now. I need to shape up. I need to walk in the truth that I learned from this book as best I'm able, trusting that this word works effectually in me and I'll do better tomorrow than I did today.
That's it.
I don't do it out of fear. I'm rather constrained by the love of Christ. So, when I tell people at the end of so many of my emails going out, keep pressing on.
Yes.
That has to do with pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's where I am. Press is different from a roller coaster ride. Press is consistent, steady, not up and down. Now you see them, now you don't. We started a ministry with virtually nobody and no assets. And I'll tell you that you build a ministry on the handful of the faithful.
Yes.
The comers and goers, you're glad when they come. Some of you are glad when they go. It's all the time. It's a swinging door, revolving door, in and out, in and out, in and out. A handful of faithful make all the difference.
Yes, amen.
Now, the practicality of Colossians 1, 9, and 10, you're going to wear that page out of your Bible, is learning the material, and the material, the doctrine, the wisdom that comes from God's Word, is that which causes, that allows the worthy walk to take place. It would be wrong, oh dear God, help me to walk worthy. That's not how it works. One young lady playing the piano. It was a testimony time. She turns to the audience and she starts to cry. Oh God, I want to be a soul winner. Oh God. And she's going on and on. Honey, that's not how it works.
learn what the gospel is, you learn what the opposition is doing, and then you go out and talk to folks.
Yes.
That's how it works. Not by making a ball hoo-ha at the front of the auditorium and praying and everything, oh, isn't she sweet? Sometimes you wonder if they're not going for the oh, isn't she sweet, rather than what they're really talking about.
Yeah.
My favorite Christian song was done by a Canadian group called the Singing Americans. How are we doing so far?
Yeah.
How are we doing so far? That's North America. So.
Yeah, yeah.
A Canadian group called Singing Americans. And the song was a lovely song. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And it starts out, the first couple lines are, I'm not on an ego trip. But most of the singers are.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so perfect.
Yeah.
I warned singers for years. If you walk up there and say, pray for me, I haven't had time to practice, I'm going to tell you, shut up and go sit down.
Yes.
I never had to do it. Like, what are you doing? These people came here and they're going to listen to you and you haven't practiced, you haven't prepared, and now they're supposed to pray for you and magic's supposed to happen?
Well, I'm a lot of fun, aren't I?
I'm counting on God's word. How many times have you heard me say, if that won't get it done, nothing I know of will?
Mm-hmm.
If God's word doesn't work effectively in you, no amount of browbeating I can give you will have any effect. No amount of coaxing and cajoling and coochie-coochie-coo of the ministry can help you. If it's not God's word getting it done, and you have to get yourself in the way of it.
Yes.
Let it into your inner man. Let it discern the thoughts and intents of your heart. Read. Anthropomorphisms of a burning bush, of a parting sea. Isn't that amazing and magnificent to think about Charlton Heston standing there? Let my people go. And look what God's doing now. Admittedly, he doesn't have a lot to work with, does he? But it's not us. It's us in him.
That's it.
It's us complete in Christ. When we think it's us, we're wrong. When we think it's us, now we're going to fail. When we think it's us.
Mm-hmm.
It's the crucified life. God's power is evident not in the burning bush, but in the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Who is the ambassador of that message? Who is the purveyor of that truth? Us guys. The preaching of the cross is to them which perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. We know the power of God.
Amen.
We can put it out. I'm not responsible for how people receive it, but I'm responsible to put it out.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't make all men understand and believe and agree with the revelation of the mystery, but I can do what I can to make them all see it.
Yes.
So, there's a reality here. You realize this is something that can be faked.
Yes.
People can talk the talk, go to church, tithe, all that good stuff, and land in hell.
Mm-hmm.
The reality for me needs to be not something I fake, but something the Word of God puts in place, strengthening my inner man, working effectually. It needs to be a product of God's work. Isn't that Galatians chapter 2, verse 20?
Yes.
It needs to be His life, the life which I now live, it's Him. Jesus, no doubt, whatever he looked like, didn't look a bit like you or me. I'm sure his language was not English.
Yeah.
But he would have me to present myself complete in him.
Yes.
Romans chapter 12 is used many a time to browbeat people to get away from worldliness. But a truth that dawned on me, and it took a long time, a lot of times things are hard getting into my thick head. The only living sacrifice in the Bible is Christ himself.
Amen.
Every other sacrifice in the Bible didn't survive the sacrifice. And so I'm not presenting myself as me. I'm presenting myself in the living sacrifice in him. And I need to be conformable to his death and not conformable to this world. And that's what I see now in Romans 12, 1 and 2. For me, it needs to have shoe leather. It needs to be practical. It needs to be something that I can get hold of without getting goosebumps and flying around the room. Mm-hmm. So that's where I am. Now, a booklet written on the subject of the two natures was written by old Dr. Ethelbert Bullinger back in the 1800s. And chapter 8 of his booklet I have reproduced for you. One for you. Dr. can have his own copy so you can tell him the shape of it, right?
Right.
And he gives what he calls practical conclusions. Number one, we shall daily ignore the flesh. Well, that sounds simple, doesn't it?
No.
But you have a conscious decision maker inside of you that should walk in newness of life, that should do those works which God had before ordained that we, Ephesians 2:10, should walk in them. So it's a matter of getting that decision maker trained. The training of the decision maker. You have a body, you have a soul, you have a spirit. Your spirit had been dead in trespasses and sins, but it is now quickened. You reckon the body dead. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God divides asunder soul issues, spirit issues, bone and sinew issues. The Word of God will assist your decision maker to choose that which is spiritual. A function of the Word of God is dividing you into three parts.
Yes.
One of them, you need to reckon dead. The other one was quickened by God's salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Your decision maker, your soul, your kenosis, your mind, needs to make these choices, spiritual choices.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Now, for it to discern is one thing, and that's a good thing. For me to operate according to its discernment is something that improves over time. If I'm not going in the wrong direction, then the opposite would be I'm going in the right direction, and it would improve over time. So, we then, in Hebrews chapter 4, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. It sorts it out. I get enough of this in me. Something confronts me. I know that's a fleshy way to go. Let's not go there. I know that would be God-honoring. Let's do that. So, practical conclusions. His second one has to do with
starving the old nature. Old Lester Roloff down in Corpus Christi, Texas, said every Christian has two dogs inside of him, a good dog and a bad dog.
Yeah.
Feed the good dog. And when they get in a fight, you'll be able to beat up the bad dog.
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
Yeah.
You got a skinny little poodle in there. He's a bad poodle.
You got this big old Great Dane in there. He's a good dog.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to win?
Well, if you don't feed the Great Dane, then you only feed the poodle.
Yeah. That's it.
And then his third one is don't become legalistic in your thinking. Understand the difference between Christianity and religiosity. And so he makes some good points. And I offer that for your library, your consideration. And we'll stop at that point. Next time, we'll start chapter 3 of Galatians. And as you read Galatians chapter 3 a couple of times in preparation for the next meeting, as I'm sure you always do, right? It's a chapter that deals with so many issues of the cults and the isms.
Yes.
That it's really a helpful chapter. And we'll pick up there next time.